Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, instead of giving a homily like I normally would over these scriptural readings, I will instead give the address, the pastoral address for our annual meeting, which we will hold immediately following the divine liturgy. We've got food and drink for people. We'll bless the food and we'll go over after the dismissal and begin our annual meeting as soon as possible to speak about the business of the church. But today I want to take some time for us to reflect upon the life of this church, and especially at our annual meeting, of course, we think about this past year and the year coming up as we prepare for it. So today is really a time of reflection for us. Today also tends to be a time of reflection and good memories for me of days past. Daylight saving time ends. Days when people didn't have cell phones that automatically changed for you at 2 a.m. or whatever it is in the middle of the night. And I remember as a cantor in Omaha, at St. Mary in Omaha, there was always this one couple who would come in. I think it was in October then, but anyway, it was the time had fallen back and they forgot to change their clocks, and they would come in during Madness and they would look around and then they would realize it. They had gotten there sooner than they ever did, because they usually didn't come to Madness. It was always a chuckle for me and Gwen. You see that, but it never happens today because people's clocks change automatically. But on a more serious note, again, as I said, it's a time for us to reflect. One of the things that has happened in the life of this parish, and I've talked about it briefly before, but want to talk about it even more so today, is a change in demographics. It's a change that has happened over many years, over many decades, and it's a change that has happened even in the past, I think it's been 13 years that I've been your parish priest, that we have seen quite a change in the demographics. Most of this, of course, I view as extremely positive, I think. Well, the members of our church see this as positive. We have a lot of people now. In fact, it may be the majority of our people, especially as I look around today, it may be the majority of our people who come to our services, who are members of St. Mary, who didn't grow up in this parish, who have no family connection to this parish, no biological family connection to this parish. And again, that is fundamentally a good thing, because if the parish is going to be strong, the parish is going to grow. And we hope that it would, because then we could multiply the good works that we're able to do for our community. But if it's going to do that, it has to extend beyond just the original families that founded this parish. Yet at the same time, that presents to us certain challenges. This is a challenge that is not unique to St. Mary. It's something that's going on throughout the Orthodox churches in this country. But it's also, if we look at the past and we look at the church history, it's a challenge that the church has faced many times before, and even at the very beginning, it was a challenge that the church faced. I've spoken about this many times, but St. Paul had to deal with the challenge of being himself a Jew, having this Jewish faith and the fulfillment of it in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ, and then taking that faith in Jesus and presenting it to a Gentile audience, to a Roman audience, who had an entirely different cultural upbringing, entirely different mindset than Paul's Jewish brothers and sisters in the faith. And so throughout the New Testament, throughout the epistles, we hear of conflicts that Paul had trying to help reconcile the Jews and the Gentiles on a practical level. Of course, he understood that they had been united together through Christ, but then you have to put that into practice. And so Paul was constantly fighting to make sure that the church remained united and that the church was not divided between Jews and Gentiles. And so that the Jews didn't have to become Gentiles, and the Gentiles didn't have to become Jews, but rather that one could be a Jew by birth, by upbringing, and still be a Christian, still be a believer in the gospel and have faith in Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And then one could be a Gentile, a Roman, and still have faith in the Messiah and not have to become Jewish, not have to become circumcised, not have to follow the Mosaic law. Well, brothers and sisters, we have at least one advantage over St. Paul, and that is that our community comes together, because often St. Paul was dealing with entire Gentile communities that would then have minimal dealings with some of the Jews. And so it might only be from time to time that they would be able to speak with one another, to have fellowship in a practical level with one another, in person. Not just spiritually, but to be physically together. So we come from many different backgrounds. Our church obviously founded by people from Lebanon and Syria. Our people coming with this Arabic background, this Mediterranean background. And then we have people who have no history of that in their family. We have other traditional Orthodox ethnicities who come to our church, but even more, we have people who come from an American background, a non-Orthodox background, who haven't been formed in the faith and have different customs. Sometimes we have different values. We have different understandings of what church should be, how a church should look, how people should come together in fellowship. And this came to the forefront for us this year as we ultimately decided after our Mediterranean Festival to have a focus group to talk about how we would deal with our fundraiser, because it is becoming increasingly difficult for us. We found for people to be there on the work days, for people to do some of the work that leads up to the day of the festival. And too many people were taking too much of the burden. And one of the things that came out of that focus group meeting, we'll talk about this more next door at our annual meeting, but one of the things that came out of that was that the majority of people, at least who answered the survey, believe that our history as this Lebanese, Mediterranean, Orthodox community was something important. It was an identity that we still want to maintain, even if the majority of our members have no family history with that. And so again, we'll talk more about that at our annual meeting. But the most important thing, at least to me, that came out of it, of that focus group, was the need for us to have fellowship with one another. Real fellowship, not just, you know, coming here and exchanging pleasantries at coffee hour, saying hi as we pass each other in the hallways, but something deeper. And as you know from previous sermons, this is something that is extremely important to me in the context of our broader society. Because we see today, at least it seems to me and to many, we see this sort of political climate that is extremely divisive. And it's very easy for us to get involved now with social media and to be on the internet and to get in our groups and form echo chambers. And we don't have to deal with people that may have different opinions than us. We don't have to deal with people who we may not like or who may have ideas that we think are crazy. And we never have to deal with them. And when we don't deal with them, we don't understand where they're coming from or why they might have these ideas, or maybe even why they might have a better idea than us if we actually listen to them. One way that I've seen this work in a practical way is this week we're setting up the host again for Family Promise. It wasn't one of our weeks to be a host church for these homeless families, but we set up because there was a week that was not covered this year. Next year, thank God, we have more than enough churches to cover. We're only going to have 3 host weeks next year. But we took this extra host week. And people from all over the Family Promise community are going to help out. It's not just our church this time. But the reason that I bring up Family Promise is because if you volunteer, especially if you come at dinner, or some of you who have time to speak with them, they want to speak with you during the evening, or evening volunteers that spend the night. When you sit down with these families, you start to see barriers break down. You know, we have this conception, all of us do. We have a conception of what someone is who is homeless. And that gets broken down with family promise, because usually it seems that we think of someone homeless as someone who's a drug addict, who is out on the streets, usually a man, someone that we might not smell good, we might try to walk on the other side of the street if we see him coming on the sidewalk. So that's one. But when you sit down and actually speak with the families that we serve here, that we house here in our church, and you start to hear their life story as they share that with you, and you hear of all of the things that they've been through. Every single time that's happened when I leave and talk about it with my wife and my kids, if I had been in that situation, would it be any different for me? I highly doubt it. I would probably be right where they are. Homeless. And thank God we have people in this community who are willing to have that fellowship with them, who are willing to provide them with meals and encouragement, to help even to keep an eye on their children so that they can go clean up or whatever they need to do, or just to get a break so that they are able to be lifted up. And many of them, a high percentage of them, I think it's like 95% of the graduates here in Wichita, are still in permanent housing. So it's a wonderful program. But again, getting back to this point of fellowship, when we have fellowship with one another, it breaks down these barriers that we can maintain and that can become even more divisive when we don't have fellowship with one another. Another example of this is someone in our own church who spoke to me recently about someone else that they knew had quite different politics than them, had a different way of looking at things, had different customs, different beliefs, and so forth. And they were working together. They were working together on something that we do here at the church to serve other people, and they ended up striking up a conversation. And the person said that was the best thing that could have happened. Because they started to see this other person who before they probably were seeing as a political opponent, as someone who was opposite of them, they started to see them for who they are. They started to understand that there was goodness and decency in this person as well. And even if they never come to agree on some of their differences, they at least see them not just as a set of ideas, but as a real human person, as a Christian, as a brother, as a sister, who just happened to disagree on something. With that in mind, brothers and sisters, in consultation with Deacon James and the parish council, we've decided to try to implement some new things to encourage fellowship with one another in this parish. The first that we're planning to do is to have a potluck coffee hour. It will be the first Sunday of the month, except when we have holidays. Now, what do you know? The first Sunday of the new year is January 1st, right? So it'll be January 8th, of course. But we'll advertise these in advance so that people know. But we find that to be the easiest way to do things is the first Sunday. That's why we do the congregational singing, which, by the way, you all sound beautiful. Something we started a few years ago to increase participation among the laity. Sound beautiful this morning singing. You should sing with the choir as well. I know they do different pieces, but you should follow along with them and learn how to sing with them as well. Or you should just join the choir. And maybe eventually we'll have the choir director just stand in the church and direct everyone. I don't know if they'll see. We're a ways off from that. Megan's ready to retire already before she even started, now that I said that. But on the first Sunday of the month, we're going to have a potluck coffee hour, very much like we do, those of you who have been around for our pre-sanctified liturgies. On Wednesday evenings during Great Lent, after the liturgy we go over, we take time to prepare the food, to warm up the food, whatever people have to do. And people go through the line and they sit down together and they have conversation for 30, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. Many times I leave and people are still here. That's wonderful that people are having that type of fellowship. And we know, let's be honest, it's not just the Orthodox, but all of us do better with fellowship if there's food involved and to stick around longer, especially after fasting, before communion, and getting out right around lunchtime. The second thing that we're going to do, and I can take any questions about this when we go over to the hall for our official meeting, but the second thing that we're going to do is to start fellowship groups. And what we've decided is that everyone in our parish will be involved in this fellowship group unless they contact me to opt out of it, because we want full participation. And what we're going to do, what I will do, is assign each family unit. A family unit can be a single person, it can be a husband and wife, it can be a mother and daughter, it can be a family like the Wagners, a large family, okay? A family unit just means essentially one household. So I will assign 3 family units to each other. So you'll be partnered with 2 other family units for the month. And the goal for that month is for that group to get together for a time of fellowship. It could be anything you want. If someone wants to open that house, they can, but people should not feel pressured to do so. You can, as far as I'm concerned, you can decide after Divine Liturgy sometime to go over and have lunch at McDonald's and just share a table with each other and have a time to have fellowship with one another. Because it's the only way we do things like this. It's the only way that we get to know one another. Otherwise, we go out at coffee hour and we sit at a table with people we already know, people that we're comfortable with. We have to do things that are more bold to make sure that we get to know people that we might not otherwise meet. And I was not presented with any ideas that I thought were better than this one, so we're going to give it a try, starting in January. And again, you can opt out of it if you want, but as I said when we first had our our focus group meeting, as I said to those of you who are shy and introverted, get over it, okay? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. You can be shy. I'm shy. I, perhaps not as a priest, but just in general relations, I can be shy and reserved until I get to know people. And I've learned that I have to get over it. You have to take that first step. You have to be willing to meet new people and get to know one another. So I hope that all of our Christians will participate in this, because I think it's something that's necessary for us to continue to build a strong community, a community that understands one another, in a community that ultimately does what St. Paul tells us to do, which is that we would rejoice when others rejoice, and that we would weep when others weep. But if we don't know each other, we don't know when someone's rejoicing. If we don't know each other, we don't know when someone is weeping and needs a hand and needs to be comforted. The only way we can do that is if we actually know one another as we should, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So again, I will be happy to take questions at our annual meeting, to answer any concerns that people may have. But brothers and sisters, as we look forward to this next year, our 91st year as a parish, we want to continue to build on that foundation that was laid for us by the families that founded this parish. A foundation that naturally involved fellowship with one another, so that they could, again, as St. Paul tells us, rejoice as their brothers and sisters rejoice, and weep as their brothers and sisters weep. We ask that God would guide us through this next year, that He would help us to do His will to the glory of His holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
As the faithful pray for the catechumens, that the Lord will have mercy on them.